was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Come, if you would stand with us. We wanna sing. We wanna worship. There's Lord Jesus. It's Christmas Eve, right? It means that tomorrow is the day we celebrate His coming, and we wanna remember that. We wanna remember His coming, celebrate His coming, because His coming means we don't have to wait any longer. So come sing with us.
Hallelujah. glad you're here to worship with us and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Over the past 4 weeks, we've had the opportunity to take a look at several interruptions in the life of Jesus and in the story of his birth. And this week, we've had a very real experience with interruptions as well. Joseph Vine, our worship pastor and the person in charge of much of this service, came down with the stomach flu today. And so we would ask that you lift him up in prayer, as well as many other people who are sick and not with us this evening. But we're glad you're here to worship with us. And please know there is not childcare this evening, but if you have children with you, please know that all of our rooms in the back corner of the building, our toddler room and the nursery and the mother's room are all available. If you would like to go back there with your children, the service will be on and you'll be able to see everything that is going on in here. Would you pray with me as we open? God, we thank you that in the midst of the darkness of the world around us, your light breaks through, illuminating all things. We thank you that you have both created all things and entered into the world, creating new hope in our lives. And we thank you that in your Son we see the truth of who you are, God of grace. Bless our time, we ask, and we ask that you would open our eyes to your grace and your truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please open with us to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you, are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Under heaven, hear him.
with strength. He has scattered the proud and brought down all vain conceit. He has lifted the lowly, brings goodness to the poor. My Savior's love endures. My Savior's love endures. My Savior's love endures.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
If you would stand with us, we're going to continue in worship. This song is all about this season. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Because we want him to come not just to take us away, but rather because he's bringing his kingdom here. He wants to make his kingdom new here, and he's coming. He's coming urgently, and he's coming soon. And that is for the reason for the season, to remind us that he's already come, and he's ready to come again. So sing with us as we sing about this expectation.
would come up now, so they could hear the Christmas story as Jesus is born and what the angels and Mary and Joseph saw and heard. Would you please come up? Don't be afraid. Like the angels thought the shepherds would be. Come on over here. Come on up. Right here.
Sit down.
Go ahead, sit down.
Right down. Sit down.
Look at all these kids. Are you ready for Christmas? All right, let's hear the story first, okay? What causes this all to happen, all right? This takes place in the book of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, all right? And I'm going to read part of it, and Mrs. Dickey's going to read the other part, okay? And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place with Quirinius, was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
And then suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. Thank you for coming up and sharing the word of God with us. May you ponder it in your heart this Christmas season. You may go back to your parents. And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Savior's birth. The night is peaceful all around you. Close your eyes, let sleep surround you. Sleep, sleep, sleep. 'Tis the eve of a Savior's birth.
Young man, teenager. I like to shoot arrows, and I chose a recurve bow. A recurve bow is different than the modern day compound bow. The harder you pull it back, the more the tension becomes. In Advent like that, we have reached the apex of the tension of Advent. It is the night before our Savior's birth, of that divine interruption. And think about the interruption it was. Mary surely would have chosen for the angel to come and visit her after she had become married. Joseph may have chosen for the angel to come and interrupt him after he was more established in his business. Maybe the shepherds would have chosen the divine interruption to happen after they had less to do with the sheep. But God's ways aren't our ways. His timing is not our timing. He chooses when those interruptions happen. So at Advent, we've been thinking about those divine interruptions, but for just a few moments this evening, Jonah and I don't want to think as much about the interruption as we do the interrupter. And to do so, we're going to look at the Gospel of John. John wants to tell us about Jesus, and he wants us to come to know Jesus.
In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, he writes this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory as of an only Son from a Father, full of grace and truth." Have you ever been to another country? If so, you may have the experience of being around all sorts of people and yet not being able to communicate. It's a strange, disorienting feeling to be surrounded by people, but to speak a different language and not be able to say a word. The words that we know are just gibberish to them, and the words that we actually need to communicate are totally out of our reach. What we need is someone to come alongside of us, because whether English or Spanish, Greek or Hebrew, words are powerful. And maybe it's a friend who can come alongside us and speak a few words of that other language. Maybe it's Siri who can translate a few lines of something that we need to know. But in the midst of a sea of people, what we need is something to bridge that gap, to come in and speak the words that we need to know, because even one or two words can become what we need in order to communicate. And we find ourselves here this evening celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior. And this word that John speaks about is Jesus, that same Lord and Savior that we celebrate. This word speaks to us, and he comes in a time when we're totally helpless on our own because of our sin. Lost in our sinfulness and the darkness of our hearts, we're unable to reach God, to communicate with God on our own. We need something to guide us and give us those words that we need to hear. Those words that speak to us in the midst of all the influences in our lives and tell us the way that we can be saved.
When that word came, John says, that word came with glory. I don't know how often we think about glory. The Israelites thought a lot about glory. For them, it was dramatic. For them, it was terrifying, the glory of God. I read a book by a gentleman named William Rankin. William Rankin was an Air Force pilot whose jet became disabled as he's crossing the United States. He was over the state of North Carolina, and he ejected, but he ejected right into the heart of a thunderstorm. The name of the book is called Riding the Thunder. He talked about the terror it was of the wind and the rain and the lightning and the thunder. That's what the Israelites thought about when they thought about God's glory. Moses one time asked, God, let me see your glory. And God said, you can't see my glory and live. So what does John mean when he tells us that God's glory has come and we have indeed seen it? Well, the glory of God is revealed to us. This word is revealed to us in flesh and blood and olive skin and dark eyes and calloused hands, in lips that speak grace and mercy and at times anger and judgment, in a hand that reaches out and touches the untouchables, a hand that reaches out to us. Then in the person and in the act of Christ, we see God's glory. And think about what that glory is like. In the office, sometimes we get treats. We love it when you bring us treats. And someone gave us some truffles, chocolate truffles. Chocolate truffles have a chocolate shell, and inside there's this delicious, delectable, decadent goo that is at the heart of it. You bite into it, and it's like, well, from Louisiana, it'd be like biting into an oyster. You just bite into that delicious goo that's in the middle. Well, if you cut open Christ's glory, what do you have? John tells us, when you open up Christ's glory, you have grace and truth. Grace and truth are the two things, those things that you find in Christ. And Christ is full of these amazing combinations. He was the lion and the lamb, the divine and the human. He was love and justice, majesty and meekness, sovereignty and submission. He was glory and humility.
When I think of Jesus being full of truth, so full that he even says, I am the truth. It reminds me of how unsettling it must have been to talk to Jesus. We're so accustomed to only letting people see bits and pieces that we post online or show them when we're with them in person. But nobody in the New Testament was ever able to pull one over on Jesus. Years ago, high-definition television became the standard, the norm for TVs. And some celebrities and movie stars really didn't like it because what was previously veiled by the blurry picture was now clear, and their imperfections and their flaws could be seen much easier. When Jesus, full of truth, looks at us, he sees us in high definition. He sees every ugly scar, every bit of sin or rebellion, and there's no makeup that can go on our face and hide those blemishes and flaws and our rebellion from him. But the divine interrupter is not just full of truth. He is also full of grace. Think about the time when Jesus met the woman at the well. She was a woman who had some things to hide, who hid the truth a little bit when Jesus asked her some questions. She was a Samaritan, someone who the Jews around her would have really despised. She was a woman, a gender that was not looked upon highly in her time. And her life was a bit of a mess. She had made these decisions and had these relationships with men, these temporary relationships that She was hoping would somehow fulfill what I believe only could have been fulfilled in Christ. And in the midst of all that, Jesus offers her grace, forgiveness, change, cleansing, and hope, all as a result of that grace. And he's full of grace. Grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy, and he's not stingy with it. In Jesus, there's a flood of grace, an avalanche of grace, a downpour of grace that can be overwhelming. And who needs grace? Those who know the truth. The truth about themselves and about the Lord and about why Jesus came in that first Christmas. If you're here tonight and you aren't a follower of Jesus, I hope you leave this place understanding what the Christmas story means. It means that God, whose very glory forever separated us from him, chose to come to be with us so that we could know him. And that's far more glorious than any halo or glorious thing we may see. I hope that sounds like a God that you want to get to know, a God whose glory you can't look away from. Because this grace and truth are life-changing. And this truth and grace didn't just enter into the world a couple thousand years ago, but it continues to enter into our lives and everything we do today.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, the incarnate Word of God. Thank you that he came and that he revealed who you are and what you are like, that he demonstrated grace and forgiveness and mercy and holiness and justice. Thank you that we have the opportunity to see his glory in your word. Thank you that we have the privilege of participating in your family, of being adopted into your family by his grace. We pray this Christmas we would know the joy and hope that comes from him, that joy and hope would burn itself deeply within our lives and create within us hope, real, powerful, motivating, life-changing hope. Thank you for the hope we can have through him. In his name we pray. Amen.
Shine and its splendor fills up the sky. It's the same that appeared and the wise men revered when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy fields, there's a silent peace that heals, and it echoes the grace of our Savior's embrace. Because hope was born this night.
Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let all of the world sing the chorus of joy. Because hope was born this night. When the Christmas bells ring,
as softly it's the song he used to praise, the ancient of days, when hope was born this night. There are angels in this place, and my heart resounds with the praise. Like a shepherd's song, I'll rejoice and declare that hope was born this night.
God in the highest, peace on
Lord of the interruptions. You, in fact, were the interruption. You're the interrupter. Oh, Jesus, we pray that our focus could be on you as the interrupter and not on those interruptions, Jesus. Because you came and you interrupted what was going on in this world with your presence. You came and interrupted the ways of the culture. And you brought a new kingdom with you. Tonight we celebrate that you came once because we know that you're coming again. And Jesus, we pray earnestly that you would come again. That while we can patiently wait, we long to see your kingdom. So Jesus, we pray on this night as we're about to celebrate with our families, with our friends, and have good times, that we would remember that you are coming, and that we would not forget your promise and your kingdom. Jesus, I pray that as we celebrate this holiday, of course, we'd be healthy, we'd have fun, but that we would see your kingdom. In your name, amen. You are dismissed.